to come and lead us in worship. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to this morning's service. It's nice to see everybody here. A few words to calm our minds away from the stress and strains of that world that's out there and the fact that there's no sun today. God is love. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Come, let us worship the God who makes his home with us. We shall commence this morning's worship with hymn 67 in Singing the Faith. This is the God we adore. Yes, it's only two verses. Let us come before the throne of God in prayer with our opening prayers, and immediately after I've finished, we will sing the Lord's Prayer. Let us all pray. Emmanuel, God with us, though you are in the form of God, you did not cling to equality with God, but you made yourself nothing, bearing the human likeness, sharing the human lot. You humbled yourself and were obedient, even to the point of death, death on the cross. Therefore, God has raised you to the heights and bestowed on you the name above all other names. And so we join with those on earth and heaven to praise your glorious name. Amen. And the prayer of confession. Loving Father, we confess with shame that because of our laziness and our selfishness, your love has failed to reach others through us. Sometimes afraid for our own safety, we have passed by on the other side. We ask for your forgiveness. Help us to live as your living and obedient and caring children, for Christ's sake. Amen.
As it is in heaven.
The reading is taken from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, and is entitled The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pastures. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and to have it to the full. Amen.
Does anybody know what Sunday it is today? And don't say the third Sunday after Easter, because I know that.
The last Sunday in April.
It is a celebration Sunday. It's the Sunday which commemorates the Good Shepherd. And guess what I'm going to be talking about today?
The Shepherd.
The Shepherd. A Shepherd. Did you notice in that there was a good bit of the reading was to do with the way shepherds looked after their sheep? Now, there was a minister at this church, some of you will remember, who, when he was chairman of a district elsewhere, spent some time in his sabbatical learning to become a sheep farmer and worked on a sheep farm in Cumbria. Was David Emerson. And he still goes, I don't know whether he still goes, but he was well known for going, when the farmer was away, going and looking after the sheep. Now, I bow to his greater knowledge. But my understanding is that shepherds in Great Britain, if you watch television on One Man and His Dog, springtime on the farm, and those sort of programs, the shepherds go behind the sheep, pushing them with the dogs and steering them to where they want them to go. Whereas we were told in that passage from John's Gospel that in the times of Jesus, shepherds did it the other way round. They led the sheep. Now, I suspect that it was somewhat easier for them to lead the sheep because they didn't have flocks of 200, 300, 400, 500. They would have a few sheep, and they would know each of the sheep by name and would call them, and they didn't have dogs. To the best of my knowledge, they didn't have dogs to help them. But they would call the sheep, and the sheep would follow the shepherd. They led from the front. Likewise, humans are very susceptible and very plausible when they follow leaders, particularly those leaders who are very plausible. In our time, we've had many false messiahs. The hired men who have no concern for the sheep. So much so that it's difficult to know, isn't it? Who to follow, who to trust. Jesus invites us by willingly laying down his life for his sheep in order to take it up again at the resurrection. The gift of faith in the risen Christ means we are able to recognize the voice of the one that we should follow. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, hence the lectionary reading that we had and the other famous reading, well-known reading, that I don't expect anybody to read, because I expect most people will know it by heart. But we'll come to that later on. The Good Shepherd that can lead us towards the authentic community, human community of faith and of love and of care, foreshadowed in our celebration of the Eucharist. Our next hymn is 252. Jesus the Lord said, I am the bread of life for the world am I.
And the life.
The alternative collect for today is one that's quite interesting. I say the alternative collect is because it's a relatively new book written by an Anglican priest down in Somerset who got fed up with the language of the ordinary collects and has brought them up to date in a language that we will all understand and with circumstances that we understand now that weren't around 200-300 years ago. This is the collect for the third Sunday, the alternative collect for the third Sunday of Easter. We are a people ever searching with our digital attachments for knowledge and information for the elixir of life. We are foolishly fast of mind and slow of heart. What we need, though, is you, Lord. All we require is knowledge of your presence among us. Slow down our minds and warm our hearts, that we may encounter your spirit in meeting the stranger and in the breaking of the bread. When we see you, may we meet you. When we meet you, may you turn our pain into joy and our despondency into hope. Amen. Our second reading comes from the Old Testament. Anybody know what that is, what that means? It's either Hebrew or Aramaic. And I'm reliably informed that Hebrew and Aramaic are very similar. Well, what is Jehovah? Actually, is the Lord. Roe is my shepherd. So guess what the reading is? And we will, I don't know if it's set up to read it responsibly, but we'll read it all together. We will say it all together, not alternate lines. Because I think it makes more sense and is more appropriate for each of us. And particularly if you remember it from your... I learnt it for the National Sunday School Union exam when I was... A long time ago. Jehovah Roe. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me down in my pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen. Following on the shepherd theme of David, we're going to sing now, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us.
keenest woe. Tempted, taunted, yet undaunted, through the desert thou didst go. Spirit of our God descending, fill our hearts with heavenly joy. Lord, with every pressure wending, never ill that can never cloy. Thus provided, pardoned, guided, nothing can of peace destroy.
How many names of God have we said today, or we heard, or sung? Well, there were six verses in the second hymn, plus the reading. It's actually about 10, because we had one that came up at the beginning of the Lord's My Shepherd. I don't know about you, but I find the opening two lines of the Lord's Prayer quite confusing. Our Father who art in heaven, fine, Father. Hallowed be thy name. What name? We've had a large number already. What name does God go by? We know to call him Father. But how do we know to call him Father? Because of Matthew chapter 10, I think it is, the Lord's Prayer. In his book, by the Reverend David Wilkerson, who's much better known for a different book. This one is Hallowed Be Thy Names. And in here he goes through only some of the names that God is described as having in either the Old Testament or the New Testament. In the Old Testament, of course, it was all in Hebrew, whereas in the New Testament, it tended to be Greek. There are 11 names in here used by people to talk to God in the Old Testament. And in here, there are three others. And those don't include any of the I Ams or any of the other ones that... Three or four of which came up in the reading, John's reading. So who are we meant to pray to? It's difficult, isn't it, to pray to somebody when somebody else is thinking about praying, calling God a different name. Psalm 23 is probably the most familiar piece of scripture known to most people. It's a comforting message that's cherished by many non-believers, as well, of course, as believers. I don't know about you, but as you get older, one of the things that happens to you is that you go to far more funerals than you do weddings and baptisms, simply because when you get to a certain age, all your friends start dying. And I don't know about you, but I reckon I go to at least a dozen funerals a year. And it's increasing. The interesting thing is, some of the funerals that I go to are for people who are not believers. They do not go to church except for the high celebrations, births, marriages, and deaths. But the number of them that have that psalm in their funeral service, because it is so well loved and cherished. The opening words conjure up a word picture of a tranquil landscape with sheep grazing on lush grass, with a nearby shepherd keeping an eye on his flock. A wonderful picture of calm. What's wrong with the picture? Does anybody really know the reality of that picture that's here today? Two other people that I know are shepherds in this area. And believe me, the picture that they would paint of being a shepherd is very different from that picture painted by David in that psalm. Because it's darned hard work, particularly at this time of the year, with lambing and everything else that goes with it, that goes with that. But can we really relate to a flock of fleecy, white, frolicking lambs who never face any trouble? Even in David's time, and David was a shepherd, of course, before he became king. As a shepherd, what was his biggest danger? It was things like lions and wolves and things like that. That's why he had to have his trusty weapon, his slingshot or catapult, to frighten them off. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, is compelling us in that psalm to follow him to his rest in order that he might abide in our midst. Because Jehovah Rohi knows his sheep. And the implication is from that passage, is that he loves his sheep. David, in writing that psalm, was essentially saying, Satan loves to move in on God's special people in their times of distress. And he was writing that psalm, essentially saying, the Lord knows who I am, who I really am. In times of distress and anxiety, Satan is there in the background, just as David experienced, which caused him to proclaim in another psalm, Lord, forgive me. Why didn't I trust you? Why did I ever doubt your faithfulness? David knew Jehovah Rohi was his shepherd, and the shepherd cared for those sheep that were despairing, those sheep that were hurt, those sheep that were troubled. Also, David was thinking of those people who had been wounded by him. He should have been a shepherd, looking after, loving and caring the people of his domain. But you can understand how he wrote the psalm that he wrote, because it was something that was close to his heart. Sheep. We can understand the sentiments that David was proclaiming in that psalm, and we can find great comfort in them. We may equally find equal comfort in the other names of God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides. Jehovah Rophi, the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of our peace. It can be from the New Testament, the Lord being forgiveness, the Lord being an intercessor. As I said earlier, Jehovah Rohi knows his sheep, with the implication that he loves his sheep, which is a reasonable assumption. One of the other books that I got, you know that I write reviews of new books, which is wonderful because I get free books, and I get some really good books written by some absolutely fantastic authors. And I got one book that I've just, the last book that I actually reviewed, was called Waking Up to God by Neil Richardson. Neil Richardson was the president of the Methodist Conference in 2003. And I found, in reading that book, and it's one of the few books that I review that I actually read through cover to cover, straight through, without picking and choosing those bits that I was going to put into my review. And he has an interesting and different possible interpretation on the word love. You all have heard from the New Testament, God is love. In fact, was it the call of worship today? God is love. But Neil has suggested that love may not be the totally appropriate word. Why? Because love is an English word, and there's only love means a whole raft of things, whereas in the Greek of the New Testament, it is three words. You know, it's a little bit like snow. Snow is one word, but the Inuit have something like 30 words. Different words for snow. And so, I will read what Neil has to say about love. And the subparagraph, the subsection of one of the chapters in the book is headed Caring. Christians use the word love too much. Preachers fall back on it sometimes when they don't understand the Bible reading. Moral generalities from the pulpit are the death of preaching. Here, I take for granted what previous chapters have argued. Love makes the world go round, because love is its heart. An unimaginable selflessness, an unconditional love behind and at the heart, the very heart of our universe. Here I use the word care for this reason. Way back in the 1960s, an American scholar suggested that the first chapter of Genesis has had a disastrous effect on the planet. That in two ways, it has encouraged the idea that creation was there for the benefit of humans, and that God's gift to humankind of dominion encouraged abuse of the environment. Recent research, curious as it may sound, confirms some words of Jesus, as a person's life doesn't consist in as much as they have. Beyond a certain level, it is necessary to make the most of life and to enjoy it. Wealth will not enhance our happiness. Caring for each other and for creation will. Current crises are showing that God's creation is a unity, or must be, if it is not to destroy or immediately damage itself. It's a bit of a different take on what preachers, and I'm as guilty of it as any other preacher, of using the word love, when perhaps we ought to be using the word care. Do you have to love somebody to care for them? No. To love somebody, you've got to know them. If you went out into the car park after church and somebody was knocked down, a stranger was knocked down by a car, what would you do? The chances are, if you were able to run, you'd get over there and you'd help them. You'd care for them. You'd wait with them until the ambulance came or whatever. You don't have to love someone to care for them. Did the shepherds love the sheep in the way that we understand love to be? The shepherds certainly cared for his sheep. And all the shepherds that I know, whether it be those that I know personally, or whether it's those that have been on the television showing lamb in time at Cannon Hall Farm and at Adam Hansen's farm down in the Cotswolds. They care for their sheep. They care for the animals. But do they love them? There was a story that I remember hearing a long time ago, about a preacher who had suggested on one Sunday that if there was somebody in the congregation, in the membership of the church, that you didn't like, that you didn't love, that perhaps you ought on the following Sunday to go up to them and talk to them and tell them that you really love them, you cared for them. There was a couple that were at daggers with each other and had been for many, many years. And the lady was there in the service and heard what had been said from the pulpit. And the following week, the gentleman came and he hadn't been in the previous Sunday service. And this lady went up to him after the service and told him that she really cared for him. Despite their differences, she really cared for him. He was absolutely gobsmacked. And didn't understand. He thought she was playing a joke on him. Well, you would, wouldn't you? But she realised. He realised. When she explained what had happened the previous Sunday, he understood. Which brings us to one of the other names of Jesus that's in the New Testament, particularly in the letters in the New Testament. God is forgiveness. They ended up, I won't say loving each other, but certainly caring for each other. and the animosity had gone. If there is a message based on the lectionary readings for today, which are to do with the shepherd, it is that we have to care for each other, that we have to care for the communities in which we live, that we have to care for the world in which we live. God is there, in whatever name we wish to call him, to care for us and to help us to care for the world and for each other. Amen. Our next hymn is 519. Father, I place into your hand.
Father, I please in your hand the things I cannot do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been. Into your hands, my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be.
Have our prayers of intercession. There is a response to the words, build us in your love. The response is, lead us into life. O God, you are present in our midst. We pray for each other, especially for those who are troubled or those in need at this time. We think especially of places where there is war in Ukraine and Sudan. Be with those people who are caught up in those disputes and are having to flee from their homes. Help us to work together for the common good. Build us in your love. Lead us into life. O God, you call us to minister to those who are anxious, lonely, or sick. We pray for our neighbours and friends who are known to us. Help us to love and care for others so that they may become whole. Build us in your love. Lead us into life. O God, you call us to receive your gifts for service in the body of Christ. We pray for those who minister amongst us. May we be open to the Spirit and be willing to share what we receive with all with whom we come into contact. Build us in your love. Lead us into life. O God, you call us to build up each other in love and in caring and in wisdom. We pray for those who have been brought low or who are broken, who are suffering from despair and anxiety. Raise them up, loving Father. And gather us all into your new day. Amen. And a prayer for the offering. Living God, May all that we offer be used for the common good, to encourage your people, to love and to care to our neighbours, build up your kingdom, bring hope to the world, this day and forever. Amen. And our closing hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. May the love of the Lord Jesus Christ draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you in his service. And may the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ fill your hearts with joy to give to others. Amen.